on Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess I can order it through the. What lion's mane?
Public market on Saturday.
Yeah, lion's mane mushroom. It helps your cognitive reasoning. It actually helps your inside of your mind to fire better.
Why would you want to do that?
I can't remember. It was Nancy. I love her with my whole heart, and I can't remember her name.
You got it.
You know,
Smugtown mushrooms.
Smugtown.
It's got the inoculation.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. And then you can grow your own.
Right. It's only $25.
Yeah.
And you can grow exactly all you want.
Once you get it started.
Build the medicine.
Yeah. And so I'm sorry.
No.
I meant to ask for that earlier and I forgot. That's why I need to remember.
Sure. Yeah. It's important. All right.
What
so.
Do you mean? Who are you?
So, what are you doing up there? I'm supposed to be up there. So we're studying the mysteries in the Bible, and I think we could probably finish this today. Maybe we'll see. But it's just a review. We started with Israel, what the true Israel is, that it's actually Jews and Gentiles together. We studied marriage, what the true marriage is, Christ and his church. The temple, that was a great study. I thought that, you know, what is the true temple, the true tabernacle? It's the body of Christ, which we are. And then the true sacrifice of that temple is not the blood of bulls and goats, but of a sacrifice of worshiping God. And then we studied the resurrection. And today I want to look at this. I'm not sure if it's really a mystery, although it says that God is going to judge the secrets of the heart. But I think there's a lot of misunderstanding on Judgment Day. And like I've said before, you guys know my pet peeve. Dispensationalism teaches that there's all these different judgments, that the judgment seat of Christ is some pre-trib rapture, right, where we're caught up before a seven-year tribulation and we're given our rewards. And I see one judgment. Yeah, so I'm going to teach it the way I believe God showed it to me. I see one judgment day of Christ. I do see a second judgment for the wicked at the great white throne judgment. But I do believe that God is going to judge the intents of the heart, whether you were under the blood or not under the blood, on the day of Christ, which we know is the second coming. So let's just, did you want to say something?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, so let's just look at them.
Normally when I say things, you read to it anyhow. Let's
hey, Dave's here. Praise
hey,
God.
Woo-hoo, yay.
We're just praying for you. So let's just, I don't know if there's a whole lot of reading here. I think I kind of like did it all myself. So we'll just look at these. There is a subject I want to cover at the end on taking the Bible literally and seriously.
Right, amen.
So if we get through this, I want to talk about that a little bit. So Isaiah 45:19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So God looks at the intent of the heart. He's not spoken to us in secret. To us, the mysteries are open. To the world, they're closed.
Right.
They're a secret. For Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, for God shall bring every, keep this in mind, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And then, so to me, there's a judgment going on here that God is going to judge the secrets of the heart. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11 says, for we must all, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So to me, when it says that we are all appear, I think he's talking about the whole world, lost, saved, appears before. And the reason I'll develop that, did you want?
No, because you look at it, when we say this often, when God says all,
yeah,
it means all. When
yeah.
Jesus died for yep. the sin of the world,
yeah.
That's all the world.
That's right. And he just said in Ecclesiastes that he's going to judge every secret, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, and I'm going to say this again. According to my Savior, my bad deeds are gone.
Yes.
Right? They have been cast as far from the east to the west. As long as I am under the blood of Christ, when I stand before him, he's not going to judge my bad things.
Right.
He's going to, but so what bad things are we talking about here? The unjust. The ones that aren't under his blood.
Though your sins be as scarlet.
It's right. It's right. I've been given that promise that when I stand before him, if I'm under his blood, he doesn't see. He's not going to judge me according to my works.
Oh,
right?
That was really interesting. This is a science thing that all your kids can do. Take a red lens and get the same color red piece of paper and combine them, put one in front of the other, and the red lens blocks out the red of the paper, and the paper will appear white. It filters it out. Jesus had to come in the flesh to pour his blood out for fleshly sin.
Yeah.
So when God looks through the propitiation of Jesus Christ to the sinner, though your sins are scarlet, he looks through the blood of Christ, the filter, and there are no sin.
That's right. See, to me, this is why this idea, you know, we've read before, the judgment seat of Christ, where he burns off, you know, the bad, he does not see our bad.
Right.
He's not going to look at us that way. But like for 2 Corinthians, first of all, this is the judgment seat of Christ. And it says that we are all going to appear before him. Well, who does all mean? The dispensationalists, the pre-tribal who say, well, us, the saints. And I'm saying all means everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that has ever walked this earth will develop it. You'll see.
Because after all is everyone.
That's right. Everyone. It's everyone.
Everyone.
It's right. So here, once again, Ash, this is what bothers me. Dispensationalists will tell you that there's all these different judgments.
Right.
That the judgment seat of Christ, we are raptured up into heaven. We are given these rewards.
Right.
According to your works, that's unbiblical. I have one reward, eternal life through my Savior.
Amen.
Okay, so Romans 14, 9 through 12. For to this end, Christ both died and rose again and revived. So there's a resurrection involved here. That he might be Lord both of the dead and living. You know, you can be dead and be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The second death, appointed to hell, is dead, but you're alive.
All humans that have the breath of God in them from Adam.
That's right.
Never die.
That's right.
They never die. I mean, there's a second death, but even when they're cast out into the lake of fire, they're still alive.
Yeah, it defines that death.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Not in the sense that our flesh goes into
hell.
That's right.
Right.
So, are there people in hell right now?
Yes.
They died.
Mm-hmm.
Are they alive?
Yes.
Okay. So to me, there's two people here. So who are the living? We are.
Mm-hmm.
We're the living. So he's going to judge the Lord both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? So now there's a judgment involved here. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee,
right.
Every, to me, means every. It's not just a bunch of saints that got raptured and are in heaven. Every knee will bow to me. Every tongue shall confess. So that every one of us shall give account to himself before God. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Did you trust in the blood or did you not? And that's everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see it in Philippians too, but he's not only saying that about the human race, he's saying that about principalities too, that they're all going to bow before him.
Well, so, and it's not a cheap bow because he says they're standing.
It's right.
And then every knee shall bow. That's very deliberate.
It's right.
From standing to bowing.
It's right. Yeah, exactly.
So that 2 Corinthians, where you were just a little while ago, back up, yes, a little bit. 2 Corinthians, all must before everyone will receive, whether good or bad. So everybody who has a body is going to be judged according what he has done.
That's right.
Like whether you believed or not.
That's right.
Whether it's good or bad.
Yep.
Whether you're righteous, whether you're under
that's
the
right
or not. All of them.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's my point, because, you know, we're not judged according to our works.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the good or the bad? The good or the bad is, did you receive the good,
right,
or did you receive the bad?
Yes.
What is the bad? The bad is you're not under the blood. I owe that.
What did you trust in?
Did you trust him?
Yourself or God?
Yes.
None good but God.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's right.
Righteousness that he's looking at.
It's right. Yeah, because our good isn't even good.
Right.
Our goodness is in the righteousness of Christ.
Paul says, my righteousness is like filthy rags. We all know what that means.
That's right. So just think of this. So this is called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not called the great right throne judgment. I don't know of any other judgments between this event. So how could this be 7 years before, when he comes to the earth, he's going to have to judge again? What judgment is that? I only see one judgment here, the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 3:6, God forbid, for then shall how God judge the world. So the question is, how is God going to judge the whole world? And when I say the world, I'm saying people that have already been here,
yes,
that are here, and in the future. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are ye worthy to judge the smallest of matters? See, I am a judge. I don't judge salvation, but I can judge fruit. And I have to judge fruit. I have to be able to discern between somebody is saved or somebody is lost, because the gospel has been given to us to witness to people. And if I can't judge, if I look at somebody and say, that guy's not saved, it is my responsibility to sound the trumpet to that person. So I did make a judgment, although I'm not judging his salvation.
Right.
I'm judging fruit. Right?
But Paul talks about being able to have a brother.
Right.
So absolutely.
Recognize whether this guy's a brother or not.
Right.
That's right.
Now, even in the judging fruit, still remains inside of the church.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you
right
know that a dog is going to do what a dog
exactly
does.
Exactly.
Right? They can't help themselves.
Exactly. Right.
I couldn't help myself before I was born again. I had no power
that's
over
right
sin.
Yeah.
Until I had the been indwelled by the Spirit of the Living God.
Yeah.
And in that gave me power to do the things that was impossible for me to do before I was born again.
And, yeah, and like I said, why, you know, like you brought up Tuesday about me, why am I so passionate about false teaching? Because I've been lied to.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. And they have the same book I have.
Mm-hmm.
And if God has revealed this to a pea brain like me, their responsibility is to put aside their pride and adhere to the scriptures.
Well, what they may not have is the same spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I'm talking about a spirit that's willing to be taught.
Right. Yeah,
if
right
you weren't willing to
yeah
be taught,
yep,
God would show it to you and you'd just block it off. And God say, all right, you don't want to know it? Fine.
You know, and I'll say that. I bet you with everybody here, I think we all have the same spirit where we have said to God, God, yeah, I've been wrong.
Well, not only that, but show me what's right.
Yeah.
I don't care what I know.
Yeah.
I want to know what truth
that's
is.
That's it. And that's what I said. I think that is what's unique going on here, is that we are a bunch of people that have been taught one thing, and God has said, Tom, can you admit you were wrong?
Right.
Can you? Because yeah, it's not just like what I've learned, but people like Curtis and me have been put in a position to teach people. And I've taught people wrong things.
Yes. And had to repent.
Yeah, and God, so now God stands
yeah
before you and says, can you admit you're wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to. And I've been wrong about so many things I've taught in the past. But, you know, and this has brought me to truth. And if you can't, you'll never be able to learn if you can't admit you were wrong.
Well, God resists the proud.
That's
the
right
way he gives to the humble.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It is a curse. Right?
Curse.
If you're so
yeah
proud that you can't be taught something,
that's right,
you know, then you are cursed before God. You're proud and arrogant before the Lord.
Yeah.
And God gave us his word, and unfortunately, we have listened for hundreds of years now
yeah
to highly educated people that I know the Greek and I speak the Hebrew perfectly and all that kind of stuff. And they say that, we believe that, with no proof.
That's right.
That what they said is true.
That's right. We just believed it. Because they got the charts.
Yes.
You know, and they scholars. You know, and they speak well. They get up there. They don't talk like us. Right? They're articulate. They speak well. Oh, boy. You know what I mean? And then we get up there and we're hacks.
Yeah. We've said this before, right? Just because you got the tools.
That's right.
Know they, doesn't mean that you know how to use them.
That's right.
Right? I just bought my first set of mechanic tools a couple weeks ago. I have them. I even got some of them dirty, so they look like they're used. I let them set out in the rain a little bit. They got rusty, right? But that doesn't mean I know how to work on something.
Here's what I'm starting to realize, that a lot of people teaching the Bible
don't know their Bible.
They don't even believe it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
They don't even believe their Bible. And then you got to have a spirit in you that you believe every word. And I don't, like we've said before, I don't profess to know everything, but I believe everything.
Who guides you in truth?
That's right.
It's the comfort.
That's right. It's right.
Jesus said that you'll sin.
Yep.
Right? But to sinning, you got to receive it.
That's right.
We're going to be talking, this is going to work out great for the folks that are here now for the sermon that's going to come later, because it's really talking about your walk.
Your walk is this.
Amen.
This is your walk. Not men. You're not going to stand before men on the day of judgment, on the day of Christ. You're not going to stand before men, and Christ is going to say, well, did you believe John MacArthur? Did you read Chuck Missler's book?
Right.
He's not going to say that. He said, did you believe this? This is me, Tom. This is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and I behold his glory.
Right.
And just the opposite also. You're not going to stand before him and take the fact that I read Chuck Missler.
It's right.
Amen.
Well, Chuck Missler says, he says, I don't care what Chuck Missler says.
Yeah. Exactly.
Chuck Missler's not the standard. Right?
So,
or me or Tom or Alan or anybody else. So who is the standard that we're supposed to work with?
And why do we do this? Why do we show all these scriptures here? Because I don't want to be in error.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be one of them. God says the way you prove a point by is at least two witnesses.
Right.
Well, we do that here. Verse after verse, we use more than two witnesses to prove a point. And the point I'm trying to prove here is, think of the timing here. See, dispensationalists will tell you that there's different raptures, different resurrections, different judgments. I'm seeing one of everything. One event, one time, one of everything. Think of this verse.
Most of them have two raptures.
Two raptures.
Have a mid-trip or post-trip rapture after the main rapture.
That's right. Two judgments. There's another judgment after he comes back. There's many crowns. You know, but they're all, to me, it's all the same crown. It's eternal life. How about the marriage? We're told that at some pre-trib rapture, we're married to him. Well, what about the people that survived this 7-year period? When do they marry him?
Or the millennial.
Yeah. Now, or at the end of the millennial, when these people survived the wrath of God, now there's a group that have to be married to him after that.
Fragments.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
To, as soon as they open that door up, now they have to create another rapture.
It's right.
And another church.
It's right.
And another. Everything has to get heaped.
Yeah. Where
I can, multiple ones.
Right? Yes. And that's the error of dispensationalism.
Yeah.
There's not seven ages on the earth.
Right. No.
There's one.
Yeah.
Right? There's not seven church ages. There's one. But in that one age, they're not even ages. In that one time period, there are Laodicean people.
Mm-hmm.
There are Philadelphian people. There are Ephesian people.
The thing is,
right?
There still are.
There still are.
Right?
They're not different
church,
time
right?
periods.
Even in this church, I would dare say
yes.
there are some that are Laodicean.
Yes.
Laodicean,
yep.
Right? There's a spirit there. In me.
That's right.
There's some Laodicean spirit in me.
Well, that's what I say. I mean, they'll tell you that those churches in Revelation 2 or 3, those are church ages.
Right.
But when you look at them, they're candlesticks. A candlestick is singular.
Yeah.
A candlestick is a person that is part of a body of the church.
Right.
And what is the true church? The body of Christ. So though, to me, those seven churches, those are types of Christians.
Yes.
And these warnings.
All of time.
That's right. So just think of this verse here, 1:6-2. Think of timing. When are the saints going to judge the world? The world. Does this mean that, you know, Kevin, are you going to, you know, is God going to bring Nancy Pelosi to you and you're going to decide her judgment? You know, this is her punishment. She needs to be whipped 40 times a day. No. How's he going to judge the world by us? We're coming with him. Right. These are my people. And he is going to judge them by our righteousness. He's not given us power and authority over them to whip them or imprison them, right? But by us, he is going to judge an unrepentant world.
Blessed are the ones who take part in the first resurrection.
That's right.
Over which the second death has no power.
That's right.
It's only one resurrection.
Exactly. There you go again. There's another one. Resurrection is singular.
Right.
But yet the dispensationalists, they need many resurrections.
Right.
It doesn't work. So to me, the saints are going to judge the world. Jesus Christ is going to judge the world by our righteousness.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to look on him whom they have pierced, and then we're going to come as the clouds. Right? He's in the midst of the clouds. We're the clouds, and he's judging the world by righteousness. John 16:8. When he is come, he will reprove the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're just told that we judge the world. But yet it says that he's going to reprove the world.
Do you have this one up there, that all judgment is given to me? Not to me personally, right. But Jesus said.
Oh, yeah, I do. I actually do. Right. Yeah, you will see it. Yeah, right? He will reprove the world. I see it. Of righteousness and of judgment. Go ahead, Alan.
Matthew 19:28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
When's he going to sit on his throne of glory? When he, think of that, he says when he comes. Not when we go, Doug. But when he comes, where? Here.
In that setting on the throne, all right, another place, Jesus says, I'm in the Father, and you're in me. So when Jesus is sitting on the throne in the Father, and the Father's in him, and we're in Christ, we're on that throne
with him.
With him.
It's right.
As him.
It's right.
I've said this before. I really think that the church is the glory of God. We don't share in his glory. We become his glory. That he'll show his glory throughout all the ages.
And he takes joy in that.
Yeah. And he
takes joy in our righteousness.
Yeah.
We saw Revelation 19 where it said that our white raiment is the righteousness of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
He glories in that. He has joy in that. So, you know, like I said, I mean, it says that he's going to reprove the world and in righteousness and of judgment. So to me, this is another one. I like Revelation 19 because Revelation 19 tells you, I saw heaven open. What event is that? It's the second coming, right? There can only be one second coming.
Well, I saw heaven open. Isn't that the same thing as the rolling back
of stars? Right. It's right.
As a veil?
Yep.
I saw it was closed. I saw it open. Yep. It rolled back as a scroll.
That's right. And that dimension is now gone.
Right. Now you can see,
right?
You can see through it.
And behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. So here you go. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. He's doing both the same day. He's going to make war and judge on the same day. So what war is that? I only know of one war where he gathers the whole world, the heavenly host, the unheavenly host, and he brings them to a place called Armageddon.
Right.
Zechariah says he gathers the whole earth. Right. Revelation 16 says he gathers the whole world. And then we studied about where the fowls are, or where the carcasses, the fowls are, or the eagles are. The carcass is the dead of the wicked.
Right.
And they're slaughtered at Armageddon. And to me, this is the same, this is all the same event. So how is he going to make war and judge? He just slaughtered somebody. We've studied this before without getting into Joel. He slaughters them at Armageddon and he raises them. We'll see this in a little while. The same day, Within the same hour, after he slaughters them, he raises them at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and it cleaves one against the other, and there's an earthquake. Mm-hmm. What causes an earthquake? Cleaving in the valley. So it's Revelation. Remember that. He says that same day when he appears, he's going to judge the world. We're told that the saints are going to judge the world. We're told that the Savior is going to judge the world. Revelation 11, 15, 18, seventh angel sounded. Which trumpet is the seventh angel, John? The last? Would we call that the last? Okay, so the last angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Ever. That point. From that point on, begins forever and ever. Not 1,000 years later. From that point on, starts forever and ever. And the 24 elders sat, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come. Because thou hast taken thee thy great power and hast reigned. Past tense. He already, when did, Curtis, when did he hast reign?
Well, he hast reigned in the beginning.
There you go. And when did he defeat the demonic world? On the cross. Mm-hmm. So he is already reigning right now, right? Until he takes possession of the earth. So he's reigning in the heavenlies, in the dimensional where we can see him. But there is a point where he is going to come and he is going to put his feet on the earth and they are going to go under us.
That's when that dimension is severed.
That's right.
You know, Jacob saw the dimension. Jacob,
yeah,
right.
He
saw the dimension open up. John saw the sky being rolled back.
That's right.
Isaiah saw the sky being rolled back.
That's right.
Ezekiel saw the sky being rolled back. He saw the dimension divide, and an opening was there.
That's right. And to me, the point here is, where would you put these events if you had a time chart? If you had your own time chart, where would you put these events here? Everything points to this same event, one event here. It's not, like Kevin said, it's not chopped up into different events. It's the same event. So look at what he says, saying, we give thee thanks. Oh, I read that. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. Right. Okay, so that's it. There's a key right there. The day of wrath. That's the day of the Lord, the day of wrath. So that when you see wrath, we're not appointed to wrath, right? We are appointed to tribulation, but not wrath. For thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. So there's a judgment here, too. There, you saw a war, and there's a judgment. And thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. That's us. And should... where am I? And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. So there's two people being separated here. There's a reward given to one people, and there's a destruction to another people. And I'm told that there's a judgment there. And we know that there's a war there that took place. Right? So 1 John 4:17. This goes against everything we've been taught. This is my point. Do we believe the Bible, or are we going to believe men? Herein is our love made perfect, that we have made boldness on the day of judgment. The day. It sounds like to me one day. Because as he is, so are we also in this world. Does this verse sound familiar? As he is. It does not yet appear what we shall be,
right?
But we shall be like him when he shall appear. So once again, what event are we talking about here? There's one day of judgment. One day, the day of judgment. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words had one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in what? How many last days could there be? Just start putting these things together. Think time-wise. Think, you know, what is your Bible telling you? He's going to judge him in the last day. And how is he going to judge him? By this. See, I do believe that when he appears, books, both are there. Everybody only thinks that the books are open at the great right throne, but the books are there. The book of life, which I think Doug is onto something. I'm not sure that's something that's a codex. That's something inside you. That's DNA. And he is going to judge that book on whether it received the seed, the word of God, and transformed that person, or whether it rejected it.
Everything he created has DNA.
Absolutely. And especially this. Right? So, in Daniel, it talks about that when he comes, the Ancient of Days comes, the books are open. And a lot of people want to put that at the great right throne judgment. I say no. When Christ comes, the book of life is there. Are you in it? Or are you not? And the books, he's going to now add iniquity onto their iniquity because they rejected him when he comes the second time.
Why would he ever close his book?
It doesn't close.
It doesn't close.
It's right. And what is he doing with the books, Doug? He's adding to their sin. So those books have to be there when he comes the second time. Okay, so he's going to judge him in the last day. Acts 17:31. Because he had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. So now God is going to judge the world by who? By Christ. In that day in whom he had ordained. So there's a whole lot going on here that seems to me the spiritual realm, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Son's children are going to judge the world. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. There's the resurrection is constantly brought up with the second coming. Constantly. So this is the one, we've quoted this verse I don't know how many times, but I mean, to me, this was one of the key verses in my life of understanding. Do you just believe your Bible? Or are we going to believe what men say? Because men will say, well, there's another resurrection 1,000 years later. For as the Father raiseth up the dead. So I'm told, so that's a resurrection word, right? And quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth, so there's a judgment, no man, but he had committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. You know, there's people that say they have tremendous ministries that say the Jews don't need Christ.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a Jewish person and you don't honor the Son, you don't get the Father. Sorry, John Hagee, you're wrong.
Where is it? It is Old Testament. Kiss the Son.
That's right. Lest he be angry with you. That's wrath.
Wrath.
Lest his wrath is on
right.
you. Yeah. Let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
I have put my name. This is Old Testament stuff.
Yeah, right.
I have put my name on him. Yeah. Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D, means God saves.
God saves. Yeah.
There is no word Jehovah in the New Testament.
Right.
The word God saves in the New Testament is what? Jesus.
And you don't find Jehovah in any other Bible but the King.
That's right. That's right. It's his name. Jehovah is his name. God saves. Lord, L, capital L, small O-R-D, is Adonai. That's master. There's a difference. The Bible, the King James Bible, Doug said it. Only the King James Bible gets this right. Where am I? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. See, this is why I don't believe your works are judged. They're gone. You don't have to worry about your positioning in the kingdom. You're in. That's it. But it's paths from the second death to life. Right? We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The actual death, oh death, is the second death. Right now, if Kevin dies, I'll miss Kevin, but Kevin's living. He's not dying. If Kevin dies right now, drops dead right there, he is alive. And he's waiting for the resurrection unto life. But he's alive. The second death, we walk through the valley of it. We don't actually die. Just the body dies. They actually die. I'll say this. The carcasses, when you read carcasses, I think those are living dead bodies. Does it make sense? They're dead. Their resurrected bodies are carcasses. Your resurrected body is eternal life, a glorified body that is alive and well forever. A carcass is a dead body that's living.
1 Corinthians, yeah. The new body.
Yeah.
There are different kinds of
different bodies. Kinds of bodies.
Right, different
yeah.
kinds of bodies, different kinds yep. of flesh. Bird and fowl, angel and human.
Yeah.
Mortal and immortal.
Yeah. And so when you think of it, when he says he gathers them at Armageddon, the fowls of the air, yeah, probably your earthly birds are going to pick at their, but I think there's something else going on there. I think the fowls of the air are devils picking at the carcasses forever. And tormenting them forever and ever.
The bulls of Bethshan
yeah.
that surrounded Christ on yeah. the cross were yep. not a herd of cows.
Well, I think, like we've said before here, what we are starting to understand is there is more than what you're reading. Mm-hmm. There's a spiritual aspect and a spiritual realm to these things. And the fowls of the air are not just eagles
right.
eating on the dead carcass of a deer.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual realm of devils,
mm-hmm.
fowls of the air, feeding on carcasses that are alive in hell. Does it make sense? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour. See, this is why, to me, an hour means an hour.
Yeah.
The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So, to me, everyone, even right now, when somebody dies, I imagine, according to this, they hear his voice.
Yes.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant, or go to hell. Right? Okay, but he's going to expound farther on that. For as the Father hath himself had life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority. Him authority to execute judgment. So also because he is the Son of Man. Think of that. The Son of Man took on human flesh. That's why he's able to judge human flesh. But he's also from that world, the God that he left the glory, so he's also be able to judge the heavenly host mm-hmm. and the unheavenly host. Right?
That's why Christ had to come in.
He had to. Right. It's the only thing. Why don't the Jews understand this? This is the only thing that makes sense, that the Son of God, those offerings of bulls and goats could never do anything. You needed God becoming a man to pay the price.
Be tempted in every way.
It's right.
Just as a man.
It's right.
Right?
So yeah.
In the heavenly realms, he was tempted in every way.
It's right.
In the heavenly realms.
Yeah, that's right.
In the human realms, he's tested in every way in the human realm.
Right.
And when he was victorious in heaven, he then became victorious on the earth, and now his perfect blood,
yeah.
flesh and spirit,
yeah.
right? That perfection now stands in the judgment
yeah.
of righteousness.
We talked about, I think it was either Tuesday or last Sunday, where think of the temptation. He took on temptations of everything poured on him.
Yes.
The things I'm tempted with are minimal.
You only got three.
You're right. Everything was poured on him except he was without fail.
Right.
I put no hope in my flesh.
Amen.
Yeah. My hope is in him. Okay, where am I? Oh, for the Father hath life himself, given to the Son to have life in himself, given authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. So here you go. Marvel not at this. He's telling you.
Don't freak out.
Listen, pay attention. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. It's coming. In which all, what do you think all means?
Most. Only the righteous.
Some. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And some shall come forth. They that have done good, there's your good and your bad. Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, it's a resurrection. Mm-hmm. I don't see 1,000 years split between these two. I see the same event, Curtis.
Right. One resurrection, two.
Yes.
Two sides.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot or cold.
Yeah.
If, you know, a resurrection of damnation or a resurrection of life.
Well, we've been told something different than this.
Right, yeah.
So, see, why did I do this? Did you believe your Bible? I'm told that he's going to judge the world in one day. I'm told that he's going to, there's one resurrection on the last day. I'm told that he's going to resurrect the good and the bad on that day. The wheat and the tares. The good fish, the bad fish.
Right.
Right? The sheep and the goats.
Yep.
So here you go. We brought this up before. So it's not just people that are on the earth at that time.
Right.
He is going to raise people up on that day. Mm-hmm. So the men of Nineveh, they repented, right? They're saved. Am I right? The people, they're saved. They repented. So this can't be 1,000 years later.
Right.
Because this is the judgment seat of Christ, because they're saved. They're not getting judged 1,000 years later. Okay, the men of Nineveh shall rise. That's a resurrection word. Into judgment with this generation. So what generation is he talking about? 2,000 years ago when he was in Israel, he said they're going to rise with that generation. I don't know, Nineveh was probably 2,000 years before that. And he's saying they're going to come up together. I'm going to raise them up together with this generation. And if he's doing it with that generation 2,000 years ago, wouldn't he not do it with this generation too?
Yeah.
And shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. I'll say it again. There seems to be bigger judgments. How do I put it? Of the wicked.
Right. Well, Jonah, he didn't raise nobody from the dead. He was raised from the dead because he was swallowed by the great fish.
That's right.
But he didn't raise nobody else.
That's right.
Jesus raised the dead.
That's right.
He healed the blind.
Yeah.
He made the deaf to hear. He cleansed the lepers.
Yeah.
And those people of his generation saw those things.
That's right. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Those people that he walked the earth 2,000, he's holding them more accountable.
Right.
Than he did for the people of Jonah.
Because they didn't even need faith.
That's
right. Sight.
That's right. It was right there. You want signs and wonders? Here's your signs and wonders.
Right.
The Son of God is on the earth. He's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. He's walking on water. He spoke like no man can ever speak.
Right.
Where these tangled, they're trying to argue with him. And he just gives them an answer. And they're like, why do we keep arguing with him?
Right?
Right?
Let's get a new bunch of lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have people today who say, well, you bring that Jesus before me and I'll believe.
Right.
They had Jesus before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And again, that Luke 16:19, the rich man in the tomb of hell, right, said if you would just have Lazarus raised,
that's
you
right.
would believe if there's a resurrection.
That's right.
And Abraham said they have the books of Moses, right? They have the scripture, and if they don't believe that, if someone raises from the dead, they won't believe them.
That's right.
They had Jesus Christ raised from
right
the dead.
Right there.
Right in front of them. And when the Pharisees saw it, they saw Lazarus raised, and they said, we got to kill Lazarus.
Let's kill him,
and
too.
We've got to kill Christ.
That's right.
You know?
And the only thing they actually have, if they see Jesus in front of them, is one more excuse.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Kayla?
Notice how early this is, Matthew 12.
Yeah.
And he's telling them that the men in Nineveh, which were total sinners,
yes,
he's like, "This is going to happen with you guys."
Yeah,
the perfect.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you know, and like Jesus said, if you don't believe my very words, believe the signs and wonders I'm doing.
Believe
everything I'm coming in the book.
Yeah.
You people were supposed to know the book.
And then it goes, well, I know you're going to do the next verse, right?
Yeah.
42.
Yep.
The queen of the south, all right? In Solomon's teaching.
That's right.
She believed.
She believed.
She's going to be raised.
That's right.
At the same time that Nineveh's going to be raised, 1,000 years difference.
That's right. Right.
And the same time that they're going to be
yes.
raised, 1,000 years difference.
Yep. There you, so yeah, Curtis brought it up, the queen of the south shall rise in the, not one of the judgments, Amanda, not a judgment 1,000 years later, in the judgment,
right.
Singular. This is the point I'm saying, I see one judgment. I see one judgment seat of Christ, and he's gonna judge everybody that walked this world from Adam till the last person that dies on the earth. He's going to judge him. Are you under my blood or did you reject me? The queen of the south, she received. She's alive. We're going to see her. We're going to meet her. Right? Hey, you're the queen of the south. I read about you.
When did she raise?
That's right.
With this generation.
With this generation. She's not raised already.
Right.
She's not raised at some future event. This, like I said, think of this. This cannot be at the great white throne judgment.
Right.
Why? Because at the great white throne judgment, the wicked are judged according to their works.
Right.
So this judgment is a resurrection on the last day, mm-hmm. at the second coming. And condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts. Think of that. Gayla brought up the queen. Is she a Gentile, Gayla? She's a Gentile. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. If he held them accountable and we have the completed book to this day, how much more is he going to hold us accountable?
Amen.
We have no excuses. And yet, most of Christianity today is heaped on the doctrines of devils
yeah.
and the doctrines of men instead of their King James Bible.
Amen.
Anything
but we've been warned.
And we've been warned. That's right. And we're not only we're warned, we're also to warn, like Curtis said, our brothers and sisters. We saw last week. We're to mark them that caused division. We're to mark them. We're to call it out. And, you know, I've been, kind of like, I don't know about berated is the right word, but kind of, you know, well, I always picking on people. You know, well, maybe there's some good things about this. Maybe he said to me, if I'm a nitwit and I can find error in these people's teaching, how much more is it their responsibility?
Right.
Right?
But how did you find the difference?
This.
Amen.
This.
You had to get away from the teaching
that's right.
that you've been taught.
Yeah, that's right.
And remember I told you all along when I first started this church, what the Lord told me is I've got to like take a bulldozer.
That's right.
Because that's how I understand things. And scrape off all of the
yeah.
stuff to get down to the foundation
yep.
again. And then rebuild.
Because that's right.
it's been built incorrectly.
You know, we talked earlier before church about being set free from the things of this world. Well, that's what God did for me by the King James Bible. He
right.
set me free from the teachings of the doctrines of men. And dispensation, why do I hate it so much? Because it had such an effect on me. I was pulled out of a cult called Orthodox Christianity, right?
Yeah.
They're a cult. They're not Christians.
Yeah.
They're a cult, like Catholics. It's a cult. It's not Christianity. I was pulled out of that, and immediately I was put into a Bible-believing Calvary Chapel, New King James, and they started ramming down my throat, Dave, dispensationalism. And I say it again. I think most people don't even realize they're being taught dispensationalism.
Yeah. Well, it's because you've heard it over and over
That's right.
and over and over again.
That's right.
If you tell a lie long enough and strong enough, people will believe
yep.
it as the truth.
And, you know, that's why I said it. I started, my friend over there, who turned me on to the King James Bible, I started seeing things and I was worried because I wasn't agreeing with the experts. I wasn't agreeing with the multitudes, with the people in the teaching, writing books, making movies, having podcasts or whatever. I didn't agree with them. And I was worried. I'm in the minority here, Lord. Surely I must be wrong. And I started coming across other people that believed what I believed. I said, the Lord set me free from the bondage of the doctors and the teachers of men and put me onto the King James Bible. And I've been free ever since. I don't have to agree with the majority. I have to agree with God.
Well, 12 men, Christ.
That's right.
I stood against the majority.
That's right. I say it again, Curtis. Who are the ones that gave Christ a hard time? The scribes?
The majority.
The Pharisees? The Sadducees? The experts?
Right.
The book writers? Mm-hmm. The ones making the trips?
Theologians.
Right? The ones making videos?
How did Jesus treat them with their false doctrine?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He let them have it.
Yeah.
He let them have it. Woe unto you.
The ones who were taught incorrectly.
That's right.
Had mercy
Absolutely. And that was me.
Yeah.
I was taught incorrectly. And God said, who are you going to believe here, Tom?
You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Because Nicodemus came to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Say that all teachers or all theologians or all Bible scholars are
right.
You just need to be careful. You need to be discerning.
Yeah, you need to be discerning.
I teach it in the school.
You need to be discerning. You know, and I'll say this. I hear that, you know, let's not throw the baby out the bathwater. I am. If the baby's dirty, the bathwater's dirty, I'm throwing the whole thing out. I'm not going to trust anything you're saying if I find error. And we're not talking about babies and bathwater. We're talking about doctrine.
Right.
And if I find something where somebody is in error in doctrine openly and blatantly, I'm not listening to anything you got to say. I'll listen to you. I'll listen. You better start giving me at least two witnesses of what you're telling me. And I'll trust you. Not you, but this.
The Bible addresses that.
That's right.
11.
That's right. That's right.
You got a little false doctrine in there.
That's right.
Problems.
You know, the New Apostolic Reformation, there are no apostles anymore.
Right.
Yet they say they are. You know, there's some actually good teaching. Yeah. So am I going to listen to them? They're already in error. There are no apostles. I'm not listening to anything they're saying. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Oh. I know you're pointing at the day of judgment. I'm looking at the idle word.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Beware. Be careful. You know, like we said, what I started realizing when God has put me on this path, how straight and narrow it is.
It is
straight and narrow.
Edge.
It's right. And you better live by the word of God and not the doctrines of men. I'll listen to you. You're going to throw something at me, I'll listen to you. But you better start quoting King James Bible verses. So Philippians, we'll finish with this one. I like this one. There's some other stuff I want to bring up too. Wherefore God had also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, some knees shall bow.
You can even say most.
Most knees. Only the saved knees, Amanda, shall bow. Is that what it says? What do you think every means? Every knee shall bow. But listen what he says. Things in heaven. So the heavenly hosts are going to bow to him. When? In things in the earth. And things under the earth. Who's under the earth? People in hell, Kev. And I'm told that every one of them are going to bow their knee to them, to him. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I just wanted to finish with that because this is clearly one event where everyone is going to bow before him. But like Doug said, when they bow, when the rejectors bow, the devil and the children of disobedience, when they bow, they fall into the pit. When we bow, we stand up. We stand before him and we enter the kingdom. So to me, it's clear. You don't have to agree with it. I think most do. there seems to be one judgment day when God is going to judge the hearts of man on what he believed. Are you under the blood or are you not? And then what I believe the Bible teaches is 1,000 years later, the children of disobedience are brought up and they are judged according to their punishment.
Well, the scripture actually says that the dead is going to give up and those who are lost at sea.
Yep.
All of those folks are going to give up the dead that was in them.
Yep. Once again, this goes totally against what most of us have been taught.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that, the judgment seat of Christ, well, that's the Bema seat. Right? The Bible does not call it a Bema seat. It calls it the judgment seat of Christ where we are raptured up into heaven and God's going to start handing out crowns, right? Al, you did more than Doug. You get these crowns. Amanda, you're better than all of us. You get a bunch of these crowns, and then we're going to take our crowns and throw them back at him. And we know that's not accurate. If you throw your crown back at Christ, you'll just lost your resurrection. There's one crown. It's the resurrection of life. Okay, so that was it, the judgment seat. But there's another mystery here, the promised land. This is real. We could go through this real quick. The promised land, Deuteronomy. What is the actual promised land in your Bible?
It's Zion, right? But Zion.
Right. So, in Amanda, Hebrews 11, 8 and 10, and then I'll read Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 11 says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land where he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So he promised them a land here on earth, right? Go ahead, dear.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
So, it seems to me that Abraham even knew that the land being physically promised on the earth was temporal. And they never fulfilled it. But he knew that there was a greater land coming. That kingdom is coming to the earth. And then we are going to... You know what I know? When you look in Deuteronomy, he says that you didn't do these things. You didn't plant. You didn't dig the wells. That's what's promised to us. A kingdom where I don't have to labor anymore. I don't have to work by the sweat of my brow anymore. It's going to be restored back to like the Garden of Eden, and we are all going to inherit our own land. Our swords will be turned into plowshares, right? This is actually what I'm going to get into a little while. Do we take our Bible literally? But my point here is the mystery of the promised land is not an earthly promised land. Yeah, it will be on a regenerated earth, but it's the kingdom that's here too. That's the promised land that I'm actually promised. And it's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles.
Well, it's for the true Jews.
That's right. It's the true Israel,
right?
Which neither Jew nor Gentile, which we have studied. So to me, these mysteries were such a big study because it gives us an idea of, I think a lot of Christians, they try to study their Bible, time, space, and matter. Like, this is the way it looks right now. This is the way it's always going to be. This is what we're given. You know, they're going to get their inheritance over there. But they don't realize that there is a spiritual realm
mm-hmm.
that's going to open up on the day of the Lord. And that realm is coming here.
I would dare say this. Already here, we just can't see it.
Exactly. Yeah, well, we know that,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, why we're caught up, I think there's a reason why we're caught up. Do we have to get caught up? No, because when the Elisha's servant
right.
was worried, and he said, you know, we're surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha says, Lord, open the eyes of thy servant. They were, the host of heaven were around him. So they're around us right now. The reason I think there's a catching up into the air is so the wicked see us going up to meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to do that. It's right.
When he goes up.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'll say it again, too. Jesus, when he appears, he's coming to a place. He's appearing over a place. He's not coming to Cleveland. He's not coming to Indianapolis like the Mormons think. He is going to appear over Israel. So now, if all the world is gathered to Armageddon in over Israel, and we are caught up to meet him in the air, it's over Israel. That's so everybody can see it. But the truth is, like Curtis said, that dimension is all around us.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's veiled right now.
It's veiled right now. And again, when the heavens are rolled back as a scroll, that is the unveiling.
That's right.
That's the fabric of the temple.
That's right. Yeah, that's exact. There is no more veil between, right? That's why, to me, that daily sacrifice was stopped in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's talking about the Antichrist stepping in. The daily sacrifice was stopped when Christ was crucified in the middle of the week. That's when the daily sacrifice was. It wasn't some Antichrist putting a stop to it. That's when the daily sacrifice was stopped, the earthly sacrifice. Why? Because the true sacrifice was crucified that day.
Well, after AD 70, when Rome tore down.
That's right. That's right.
That was, there has been no
That's
more
right.
sacrifice.
That's right. And even, Curtis, think of this. After he paid the price on the cross, it didn't matter if the next day they went to the temple
right.
and sacrificed a billion bulls right. of blood of bulls and goats. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Because he paid for it that day.
Yeah.
So, like you said, and then he let it, there's a reason why he let it go to 70. I'm not getting into
yeah.
numbers, but there's a reason. And then he put a stop to it.
Yeah.
They don't, to this day, they don't have a temple. They have synagogues. They don't sacrifice goats, lambs in synagogues. They go to hear the word of God. But he stopped that. And I say it again. We studied this a while ago with Ezekiel 37. Also, the records of their genealogy were in the temple.
Yeah.
It's gone. And yet now they're known as one people, Jewish people, not tribes, not the 12 tribes.
Not only are they known, they're hated.
That's right. That's right. So when you see the 12 tribes in Revelation 7 and 14, by the way, they're the same ones. Those are Old Testament saints that got saved. Old Testament saints. And then, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, God knows what tribe they're. Those are people that are going to be on the earth, really, without sin, virtue. Are you kidding me? No guile in them? Are you kidding me? You're going to find 12,000 from each tribe, a man from Israel. These are Old Testament saints that were already redeemed before Christ. Okay, so we studied this a while. I don't even want to get into this one. We studied this a while ago, the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. It says that it's already at work. Right now, it's already at work. What is the mystery of iniquity? Well, it's the opposite of mystery of godliness. So the mystery of iniquity is that the unholy Trinity is going to be revealed. Even though their work is already at work in this world, there is going to be a point in time when the mystery of iniquity will be revealed, you know, openly seen. And then, you know, God says he's going to destroy them. So, okay, that's our study on mysteries in the Bible. I want to bring something up that I hear a lot that I kind of agree with, but I don't agree with. I take my Bible literally, which I do, but I also don't. So I'll show you what I mean. Hosea, you see it here, mysteries and typology, the Bible, literally or seriously. See, I take my Bible seriously. I have also spoken by prophets and have multiplied visions and used similarities, similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So, if I said to you, I take my Bible literally, You see him here, Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit. Is Jesus an arm?
Yes and no.
Right? So is he just an arm?
No.
No. Is he a branch? Is he bread? Is he a Vienna loaf of bread, Diane, with sesame seeds on it? Is he a cornerstone? When I see him, is he going to be a cornerstone?
Right.
Is he a day spring, a morning star? Is he a door? Is he a six-panel door with French handles? Is he a horn, a light, a lion, a Passover, a rock? Is he a rock? And like Curtis said, I could say yes to a lot of these, but literally.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Jesus called himself the door.
That's right.
And
Thing is, the Bible will tell you what it is.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
You read it.
Yes.
And believe it, and it'll because if you run into those things that look like they're contradictory,
that's right.
Then you gotta say, okay, Lord.
Yeah.
There's,
I gotta get this cleared up.
Yeah. There's discernment.
You don't get that if you don't read the whole Bible.
There's discernment here. So think of this. Is he a rose? Is he the sun? S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the sun? Is he a vine? Is he a root? Is he a living stone? Is he a shield? Is he a buckler? Is he a two-edged sword? I mean, when I see him, is he just going to be this sword, right? Is he a fortress? Is he an alpha and an omega? Think of the devil. Is the devil going to have seven heads? Is he going to have 10 horns? Is he a light bearer? Is he a lion? Is he a bear? Is he a leopard? Is he a tree? Is he a dragon, a serpent, a rock? The saints, are we lively stones? Are we candlesticks? Am I just, I'm saying literally, right? Am I a light? Am I salt? Am I a piece of salt you can throw on your hamburger? Am I a branch? Am I a building? Am I a temple? Am I a pillar? Am I a sheep? Am I a four-legged animal grazing in the pasture somewhere? Am I wheat? Am I good fish? Am I the body of Christ? Am I a virgin? Am I a tree? Anti-saints. Are they trees with no fruit? Are they tares? Are they bad fish? Are they goats? Are they waters? So I got some miscellaneous things. Do you believe in your heart? The four chamber thing beating, do you believe, or is the heart the inner man? See, there's a difference here. Saying I take my Bible literally, is the gate to the kingdom narrow? I mean, is there some passageway that's narrow that I, no, but it's the way to the kingdom is narrow. The throne, the heaven is my throne, the earth my footstool. Is the earth a padded stool where he puts his feet and the earth is a throne? The heaven is a throne when I look at heaven because it says that his throne is in heaven. So now is heaven a big high back chair with arms and a cushion? He sits on the earth. On the circle, do we think he's literally sitting on the earth? I mean, is he in the lotus position, right? Okay, when he promised them the land flowing with milk and honey, was it literally flowing with milk and honey? Here's my point. Do you take your Bible literally or seriously? That being said, 42 months means 42 months. 1260 days means 1260 days. The second coming of Christ means the second coming of Christ. So, I don't remember who said it. There are times where I take it literally.
Right.
This has to be discernment. You have to use discernment on when you take it literally and when it's figurative.
Well, what is a metaphor?
That's what it is. They're metaphors.
Right.
They're pictures.
They're pictures.
To help us understand what he's talking about.
Well, yeah.
The parables. They were parables. Like they're parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something like this that means that.
Yeah.
You know, but all of those are true. He is my buckler. He is
He
is my fortress.
Yeah.
He is the great I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is the burning book.
He's my bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that, right?
He is the blood that covers me. Yes.
Absolutely.
All of those.
Yeah.
But he's not just a drop of blood falling out of heaven.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, that's what I say. Just, my point is, I hear this a lot. Well, you know, it's almost like this prideful thing. Well, I take my Bible literally. Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think you can say you take it seriously.
Seriously.
All the time.
All the time.
Right. Again, it's a metaphor.
That's right.
It's,
yeah.
What do Americans see that as?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
It's like email. Back before it was on the computer, when you got a bill, it was email.
Right.
You know, so...
Yeah, so, you know, I'll say it. So, I'll say right here, this study we just had, the Day of Judgment,
yeah.
I take that literally. I think it's one day.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 1 hour, one resurrection, one second coming. I take all those literally. But I just say, be careful when we say that.
Yeah.
That, like Curtis said.
If you read, you will get that.
Yeah.
Read the whole Bible. It's like
yeah.
you said earlier, a great fish.
Right.
But Jesus then tells us it's a whale.
Right.
He didn't tell you
yeah.
that. Right?
Yeah.
So you get into the New Testament.
You know, I don't know if you noticed, Doug, but I also kind of stayed away from saying he has wings. He might. He might.
Well, he flies as
right?
wings.
When the Holy Spirit came down,
yeah.
he was a dove.
So there are some things that, I mean, I could have covered a whole realm of things, but just to share with you there that be careful.
Right.
You know, it's almost like this prideful thing that we use with other Christians where, well, I take my Bible literally. I take it seriously.
Right.
There are things I take literally, and there are things that, like you said, are...
Yeah, metaphors.
Metaphors.
What I tell my kids is read it and believe it.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know, believe... Yeah. You know, here you go. Did John see a dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what Christ showed him. That's exactly what he saw. Hale Lindsey says, well, John was ignorant. He didn't notice those are Apache helicopters.
Right. Yeah.
I think John's smarter than Hale Lindsey. I think John has more spiritual discernment and more of the Holy Spirit in him than Hale Lindsey does.
When all of the prophets saw the things that God saw.
That's right.
You know, he showed them.
Yeah.
Did Ezekiel see a wheel within a wheel?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
What does that mean?
You're right.
You know, okay, how about angels having...
Four, yeah, explain
four
that one.
Four faces.
Right? Explain. Yeah. He explained it to you exactly the way he saw it.
Right.
Go ahead, dear.
Don't you think there was an error there where everybody was putting into the scripture, and now the Holy Spirit brought us more into truth?
Yeah.
Discovering that it doesn't hold water.
Right.
And... There is, you know, much more discernment, I think, in the body of Christ.
I think there's much more discernment.
In the body of Christ.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think.
A capital C.
Yeah. Against the very elect. Right? The truly elect. The really saved. I think a lot of discernment and understanding. And like we talked before, Bible study, that there's a lot of people that are just learning, I'm going to trust God. I don't
when I read Hale Lindsey, and I'm like, huh. Like, I couldn't...
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me
yeah.
take it all in hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
I was just like, huh.
Yeah.
Like,
what's funny about that is, Hale Lindsey is who led me
yeah.
to investigate the
yeah.
Word and become a Christian.
Yeah.
And I went back and read the book later, and I said, how'd that do that?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
and...
it's God that just... made me a Bible believer out of it.
When exactly.
I said all
well,
that, I became a Bible believer.
Yes.
And then from there, I went on my own.
I'll say that. And I think that's why we have the right to speak against it, because through that, God has showed us, you know, I'm going to bring you farther than what they're saying. You know, and what they're saying is an error. And apparently a lot of us got turned on by the head. I did. I was reading that stuff. I'm going, yeah, yeah. And then God says, no, no. Right? I had the Bible Code book by Chuck Fisler. What's that?
We're all in different stages
yes.
in our walk.
Yeah.
So I had breakfast with a friend of mine. We talk about
yeah.
the scripture. She goes to another church. And she said to me, so I was listening to Revelation 19, and they were talking about the millennium. And she goes to me, what is that? And she proceeds to say... we talked about it, and I said, well, logically, can this happen? Can you have death after judgment?
Right.
Sin and death can't be destroyed and then it's resurrected.
Right.
But she figured it out logically. And then I got physically sick and I had to leave. But she said, she thought that that was a spiritual warfare thing that happened. Because she said, I now believe that man is a liar. And yeah. It was a Calvary Chapel guy. And she's listened to him for 19 chapters, but the Holy Spirit revealed that
yeah.
to her. And I'm like, I do see people coming out of
yes.
things
yes.
because the Holy Spirit will lead them.
Yeah. Gail, I'll say this. I'm very critical, but I'm not critical of people sitting in church. I think God will open their hearts. My criticism is on the teachers, mm-hmm. on the preachers, on the book writers, on the leaders. That's my criticism. But like you said, I will never criticize the one that's sitting in the pews listening. Go ahead, Kev.
I'd say, too, you admitted earlier that having understood things wrong and falsely
yeah.
taught something you understood to be false, you repented of that. So I'm wondering, like, we're all at different stages of
yes.
the walk. Hal Lindsey wrote those books that interested people. As he has since repented of the things that he...
Well, he's dead now.
Well,
yeah, you know, right. I hope. I pray. But you know what, Kev? You know what I noticed? When I repented, I made an open profession of it. I have not heard that. You know, and I read the Chuck Missler Bible Code, where he took all different letters. That's not in your Bible. Where he took all different letters and started making different sentences. And I started reading it, and I'm going, this ain't right. You know, I really felt the Holy Spirit saying, that's not how I've spoken to you. I did not tell you to take every fourth letter and start making words. Well, it kind of sounds like this. You know what I mean? And then, you know, God started separating me from him. So, yeah, I agree with you. If they are humble enough to admit their error, I want to hear it.
And God's going to judge them.
Yeah.
It's not for us to judge.
Yeah, right.
Judge another man's
soul. Right, exactly. Right.
He's going to stand before God.
Yeah.
He's going to give an account
yep.
for every utterance that he uttered.
Yeah.
And if you are going to repent, that... When does that happen? Right. For all of
right.
us, it was different.
Amen.
Right.
Yes. In different time periods of our life, mm-hmm. God has showed me where I was wrong
yeah.
and what I needed to do.
Yeah, and we should. We should pray that the Lord will open the eyes of the king. Right? Go ahead, Josh.
Just real quick to add to that, repentance isn't a one-time thing.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Salvation.
Yeah.
Right? Salvation is when you admit you're a sinner and then you're covered in blood.
Right.
And confess, you know, who Jesus is to you personally. But repentance goes straight along with sanctification.
Right.
Which is a process from once you're saved until we cross over.
Right.
So you may repent of one thing, being a drunkard one day, and 6 months later it could be something else. But
yeah, because 6 months later is going to show you something different in your life.
It's a continual process. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You don't just repent and oh, now I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, so that concludes our study on mysteries. I'm going to show you where we're going probably the next couple weeks. I was asked, I know we've done this in the past, but I was asked by Roberto, mm-hmm. I was asked by Mark and Asha, and I would say at least 3 or 4 other people in this church and 2 of my friends out of this church on the millennial. I know we've done it before, and I know there's been some disagreements. I'm just putting together a Bible study for people on what this, because like we were saying, Gail, last week, I don't know anybody that studies this. I know they have their opinions and their ideas and their charts, but I don't know anybody that studies this. So what we're going to do is I'm going to put something together from the second coming, what the second coming looks like. And I would say it starts at the 3.5 year before his second coming. I'll probably start it there. And then we'll look at the second coming, we'll look at the 1,000 years, and, you know, we'll try to put together something like that, a study on that. Like I said, I know in the past we've had discussions about it, and they've gotten heated. I'm just asking, let me put this together, let me teach it the way God showed me. You don't have to agree with it. But just, you know, let's allow this to be taught.
I'd like that.
Okay.
I had to change a number of my views, and I don't know if they're all changed.
Yeah,
changed.
Yeah, exactly.
So
right.
I want to get it right.
Yeah, and so do I. You know, I mean, seems the more I learn, the more questions I have.
Yeah, amen.
All right. Is that it? Good. Did we learn anything? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for being merciful to us. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you that you are a God that is long-suffering. And like Brother Doug said, Lord, we don't claim to know everything, and we want our errors exposed. Because we do fear you, Lord. We do fear just taking your scriptures and wresting them the way, twisting them the way we want them to be. We fear that, Lord. And I think there's a group of people here that have said, doesn't matter what we think, what do you say in your perfect word? And Father, I believe we trust that. I believe that the Holy Spirit has met us here and teaches us these things. I thank you for teaching us. You said that the mysteries are for us, are for the saints, are for the children, that the parables that you spoke to your children in parables, because it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And I pray that we learn that these mysteries are not just earthly things, but there is a spiritual realm coming, Lord, that we are to prepare for, an everlasting kingdom that we are to prepare for. And I thank you for that. And I do pray, Lord, I do pray that people, that their eyes would be open, and that they would be challenged against the doctrines of men to the scriptures, that they would be Bereans, that they would search the scriptures to see what things they are being taught are biblical or not. Lord, I put them before you, and I do put the ones teaching before you too, Lord, that they would put down the doctrines of men, put down the charts, the books, the videos, and study the Word of God in the King James Bible to get truth. I do pray for them, Lord. I know I'm hard on a lot of them, but I do pray that you would have mercy on them like you have had on us. And I thank you for that mercy you've had on us. I pray, Lord, for Curtis, that you would just move him aside like you did me. Just move us aside, Lord. Just cause us to be just vessels with a mouth to speak the truth of what the prophets and the apostles have given to us through the words of Jesus Christ. Lord, just move Curtis aside, feed your flock, enlarge our hearts, draw us nearer to you as we see the day approaching. In Jesus' name, amen.